preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Thankfully, you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. Today, we have Pastor Mike Brown joining us today on Abounding Grace Radio, considering again and working through the book of Philippians. We're getting close to the end of our reflections in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And today, Mike, we come to the great subject and problem of anxiety. It is fitting, isn't it, that at the end of this book, after there has been so much conflict that the church in Philippi went through, conflict internally with strife, conflict from without, people assaulting them for the faith, but primarily, as we looked at last time, this conflict that went on between two members here in the church, that Paul would then go to the issue and address the issue of anxiety. Well, we don't ever have that problem, do we?
Yeah, in fact, we live in a very anxious culture, whether we realize it or not. I mean, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but if you look up the difference between the current generation and the amount of diagnoses there are for depression and anxiety, as well as medication that's used for those diagnoses, compared to the generation that actually went through the Great Depression and World War II, it's staggering. It's something like 10 times more. And granted, there's been a lot of things that have changed. You know, pharmaceutical companies are selling products much more now, and doctors are more quick to prescribe things. And we're certainly not saying that all medication is bad. There's many good uses of those things and good common grace principles. But it is interesting that we do live in a time, a day, and an age where people are anxious, and there's a lot of reasons for that. We have higher expectations now for our lives, and a lot of times we're not meeting those expectations, and they're unrealistic, and we think we're better than we are at things. We live in a very narcissistic culture, and so we fall pretty hard when we don't reach the goals that we had hoped that we would reach.
I think that's really helpful. It really is staggering. What has happened? What has led to all this? I think you have some really good reflections there. And to think about, we're all trying to build our lives in a certain way, achieve our dreams and our aspirations. And as you and I both know, Mike, nothing tends to go the way that we plan, does it? Right. There are always disappointments. There are always hardships. There are always trials and tests along the way. And these things lead people into despair, into depression, into very real struggles. And that's what we want to address today on Abounding Grace Radio. We understand these struggles, dear listener. We know that they're real. As pastors, we see this all the time in the life of the church and in parishioners' lives. And we want to reflect today and think a little bit about how the Apostle Paul helped these Christians in the first century who were facing real struggles with anxiety in the church, and how this anxiety was pulling them away from their very purpose and mission in the body of Christ. And we're going to think about that today on Abounding Grace Radio, particularly here in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I think initially we hear that kind of verse, and Paul says here, under the inspiration of the Spirit, be anxious for nothing. Is he being realistic here, Mike, about life? I mean, how many anxieties do we face? Is he really saying in this particular case, in life as a Christian, that we should have no anxieties?
Well, yeah, it's pretty profound, especially when we consider where Paul was when he wrote this. You know, it's easy for someone to say, hey, be anxious for nothing. Right. If you're on the beach, you know, in Maui. But where was Paul when he wrote this? He was in a Roman prison, possibly facing death at the time. And if anybody had reason to be anxious, it was Paul. I mean, he's not having his best life right now and doesn't know what the future holds. But when he considers who God is and when he considers his position in Christ because of the gospel, and when we think of those things, the fact is we really don't have any reason to be anxious. We're not saying that's easy.
Right.
It's normal because we're fallen people to be anxious about things and to be depressed. But really, one of the things that Paul's doing here, one of the connections he's making is, as he's been saying throughout this letter, in the first three chapters, he's been talking about not esteeming yourself so highly and not thinking about yourself all the time, but rather think about yourself less. Not necessarily think less of yourself, but think about yourself less and think about others more and esteem others more highly than you do. I mean, that really is the mind of Christ, who came into this world, who didn't think about himself, but thought about others, put others more highly than they deserved, and sought to serve others. And Paul he's making a connection here that really that is one of the cures. It's not going to cure us of all our anxieties, but it will offset so much unnecessary anxiety and depression that we will heap upon ourselves. The fact is, if I focus on my feelings all the time, if I focus on myself, then I'm going to get depressed,
right,
and I'm going to be anxious. If I'm not meeting my goals and my dreams and I'm only thinking about how I'm feeling right at any given moment, there's a good chance that I'm going to be a lot more anxious than I need to be. And so Paul is saying, look, the key here, the secret, is think about who you are in Christ and then put others first and put yourself last. And really, that's the acrostic we could use for joy. Jesus first, others second, you last. That spells joy.
Right. I mean, we've just seen this in ourselves and, you know, in the course of ministry. People who are typically facing these sort of challenges with anxiety and depression, this is a really great way and I think a good place to begin. Think about how to get ourselves out of that. And first to begin to think of others. I think that's absolutely right. When we navel gaze, when we're only focused on ourselves, all sorts of problems then come and stresses and anxieties that we face. But to turn our eyes away from ourselves, to look to other people, to think about how we're serving other people is the answer, one of the answers that the Lord gives us to help us. And that gives us real purpose. That gives us meaning to our lives. That gives us help to be active in the Lord's service. And that purpose then draws us away from ourselves to serve others. I think there's something important you said a minute ago, Mike, that I'd like to capitalize on for a minute. You mentioned Best Life Now. And I think maybe Christians have been so programmed in our country to pursue a certain way of life, American dream, to fulfill all of this. And they've been told that you can expect that. You can expect that if you're doing what's right and you're following Jesus and you're in church and you're doing everything right, then you should expect a blessed life.
Right.
You should expect life to be blessed of the Lord and a happy life, a life that is enjoying all these things that God will give you. God has for himself. They treat the Bible somewhat like a fortune cookie today. You open the fortune cookie, you get a fortune. The Bible is treated like that in many Christian circles today, where God is there ready to serve you, to give you your best life now, to give you every kind of dream and aspiration that you have to fulfill that for you in this life. The reality is that it doesn't go that way.
Right.
The Bible describes the Christian life as full of tests and trials, afflictions, real tests that go on. It could be your health. It could be your wealth. It could be your family. All kinds of things that test us and try us. And if we don't have our expectations, if our expectations are not aligned correctly with the Word of God, this brings us into these places of depression and it could be other reasons, right? We don't want to just say this is the reason, but oftentimes our expectations are unrealistic of the
right.
Christian life, and that leads us into great anxieties. Well, shouldn't we be getting, there's something wrong with this church. Why would there be conflict here, right? There's something wrong with my spouse. Why then are we in this great conflict leads us into depression instead of understanding that all these things are part and parcel to life under the sun in a fallen world and come as tests for the Christian to then remember who they are and the witness they have in the midst of these tests. Instead, we often sink into depression.
That's exactly right. Those are all opportunities for the gospel to be applied to our lives. And that's what Paul's saying here when he says, rejoice in the Lord always. He's not just saying, hey, rejoice. And you know, there is a place for rejoicing when we enjoy the common things of life. When I have a good Italian meal, I rejoice. You know, when I have a good cup of coffee or a good glass of wine, it brings me a little bit of cheer and happiness. But he's talking about something else. Rejoice in the Lord. So when we have the difficulties, as you're explaining, Chris, the hardships in marriage or in church life, or in Paul's case, he's in prison. No matter what our circumstances may be, as Christians, our joy really is independent of those circumstances. And again, we're not saying, we have to make this clear, we'll probably have to repeat ourselves a few times, we're not saying that all depression is just easily cured by simply repeating Philippians 4:4. We recognize right. that we live in a fallen world, that depression is real, that there's chemical imbalances, that there are physical issues, that sometimes you're depressed, you don't even know why. But at the same time, it's also true that there's a spiritual dimension to some of these things, mm-hmm. and a lot of times we heap these things upon ourselves unnecessarily. One of the things that's important for us to remember, as you pointed out earlier, is that we live in a day and age, we live in a time when our expectations are so high about everything, you know, best life right now. And we have seen this, sociologists point out how this has gradually increased over time, particularly with the post-war generation. There was a great abundance in the baby boomer generation that did not know how to sacrifice, did not have to sacrifice the way that the World War II generation, Great Depression generation, World War I generation had to. And then the children of the baby boomers, like myself, the Gen Xers, we grew up in an environment, really, where we were constantly told, you can be anything you want to be.
Right.
I remember I went to a public school, and I remember being told at an assembly meeting by some motivational speakers, you can be anything you want in the world if you just put your mind to it. You could be president of the United States. And, you know, everybody's clapping and cheering. And, you know, the idea is that you're really validated if you meet some high goal. And I remember thinking, you know, there's 660 people in this assembly. We can't, just mathematically, we can't all be president of the United States. Somebody's not going to be.
Right.
And so, you know, we set ourselves up for these unrealistic right. goals, unattainable dreams. And then when we don't meet them, when we realize, you know what, I'm not as great as I was told I am. I'm not as good of a baseball player or an artist or a pianist. And then I'm never satisfied with just being content in the gifts that God has given me. What happens? I fall hard
right.
into hard depression right. yeah, and into anxiety. And you bet I'm going to have to increase my medication at that point.
Right. Well, and I think it just, you know, what you're touching on is the whole movement of the power of positive thinking. And really the power of positive thinking leads to the power of depression.
Yep.
It's such an important point. You're right. We were programmed in our generation to think like that.
Right.
We were programmed and told, you know, following the old army slogan, right? Be all that you can be.
Right.
And we were told you can be that. And the reality is,
you were trying to be more than you can be.
Yeah, you're trying to be more than you can be, and something outside of what God may have for you to be.
Right.
And therein lies the real problem, doesn't it? You know, Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote on this passage years ago. I love his work on spiritual depression. I love you emphasize a little bit here the spiritual dynamic of that. He talks about, in that book, the tyranny of circumstances. The tyranny of circumstances, what he calls, when our circumstances change, and this tyranny comes upon us where we have no control. We really don't have control of anything. But when these circumstances come upon us that utterly derail us and pull us off everything of these great plans that we've had and been programmed to think about. Be all that you can be. Put your mind to it. You can accomplish anything. All of a sudden, the tyranny of circumstances puts us back into reality, doesn't it?
That's right.
And then we're faced with, how are we going to move forward from there? This is where the Christian life really is tested, and where we're really shown, where is our hope? Where is our trust? Who are we looking to? Notice that Paul does give us a path forward here. For the spiritual aspect of this, the dimension of this, when he says here, which I love what he says, be anxious for nothing, but here's a way you can handle anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a way you can move, and God has given you a way that he will strengthen you and help you in the midst of your real anxiety, real problems that you face, things that we bring on ourselves. He says, and everything by prayer. I think most of us would look at the Christian life and say, you know, what is the one duty, spiritual discipline in my life that I'm most neglectful of?
Prayer.
Right. We're all guilty of this. Right. We'll say this as pastors. We give ourselves to this and try to do the best we can, but none of us stand up and say, oh, prayer life is great. The challenge here is to say, and be honest about this, that prayer is an area that we are lacking in, but prayer is really a posture of dependence right. upon the Lord.
That's correct.
We're coming to him. Prayer is simply talking with God, expressing to him the things that we're facing, being honest with him, open with him, talking and resting on his promises, asking him for help. And that's essentially, Mike, I mean, if we want to go into some of this, I think it'd be helpful. Notice what he says, prayer and supplication. It's a doxological word there mm-hmm. that he's really saying, come at him with the spirit of worship and be thankful. Look at your life and look at all the ways that he has helped you, blessed you, encouraged you, provided for you all along the way. Acknowledge these things. What does that do? It takes you away from yourself, like right. you had called us to do at the beginning. And he says, as you do, and then you express your request to God, he's going to do something for you.
Right.
He says, not that he's going to change your circumstance, very important, but he says his peace that surpasses all understanding, and the word that he uses here is like a military word, will guard your heart and your mind. He may not change the circumstances,
right.
but he will change your perspective through the hardship and the trial.
That's right. Yeah, this is so important. I mean, in the posture of dependency, yeah, it's also a posture of gratitude. Like you're saying, Chris, we begin to enumerate all the good things that God has done. And look, we're not simply saying, oh, it's an easy platitude, just count your blessings.
Right.
And we're not saying also, I'm sure there's some who are listening to this right now, rolling their eyes thinking, man, I've tried to pray, and I'm still depressed. I'm still, you know, right. torn up. Look, there are other things, too, that are important. Are you getting sleep? Are you getting vitamin D? Are you getting outside? I mean, oftentimes I'll
exercise,
ask people this.
Yep.
Yeah, are you eating? You know, your body, you we're not Gnostics here. We're not saying that, you know, you just have to repeat this Bible verse or, you know, say a few prayers and suddenly the magic works. It's not, you know, rubbing a rabbit's foot. But what Paul is saying here is that, yeah, even though your body needs sleep and food and sunshine and all of those things, but nevertheless, a huge element, a huge part of dealing with the anxiety and the depression is going to come through prayer and through gratitude. Medication and sleep and food and sunshine, they help, but you won't overcome your spiritual depression or your anxiety apart from prayer. Okay, we're not saying it's only prayer, but it won't happen apart from prayer. And notice how Paul is saying it. Again, he's in prison. His circumstances didn't necessarily change. Right. He wasn't released for a long time, and then eventually he was in prison again and he died. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means, again, that you're going to be brought back to the fact that I belong to Christ. At the end of the day, yeah. I'm clothed in his righteousness, washed by his blood. I'm sealed by his spirit. I belong to God, my Father. And everything in this world might be turned upside down, and my whole life might be falling apart, but I belong to him. And he's going to make sure you persevere.
You know, this passage I preached years ago, it's such a glorious passage, helping us to think about how to handle all these tyranny of circumstances and things that happen. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's what Peter says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you.
Right.
And God's going to give you the gift of his peace through this particular circumstance. I had a woman come up to me after I preached this, and she had lost her husband. Her husband died of cancer. Very young. And she said, I had no idea how I was going to make it through. And I still don't at times. She goes, I still go through awful depression. She said to me, she said, my doctors want to put me on all the medications. And you know, there may be times where that's very appropriate if there are things and medications that can be helpful. But she said, I had to make the choice and say, that wasn't really my problem. My problem was at this particular moment, through the test of losing a loved one, I had to lean upon my shepherd. I had to come and hear his voice was calling me through the word as I heard it every week. The only way I've made it through this, the only way is by his strength. Mm. And I've learned through it to cry out more to him in prayer. She goes, it's not easy, like you're saying, Mike. She says, every day is a new struggle, a new hardship. But she can say, I can testify to the faithfulness of Christ to keep me through all of this.
That's right.
And that always stood with me, because what she's describing there is saying, it's been painful, it's been awful. I don't wish this upon anyone, but I have enjoyed through this his holding power. I have enjoyed through this his peace to make it each day. It's a day by day thing for me. But it has been the Lord's power that has kept me. And she's always been an example to me through this, particularly of an application of this particular thing that Paul is saying here when we face the anxieties of life.
That's right. Yeah, it's so important. I mean, and we have to remember that the Christian life is not going to be free from trials and difficulties. In fact, your life might get worse when you become a Christian. For many Christians, it has. There's no guarantee that it's going to be better. When we say you're going to be blessed as a Christian, yeah, you're going to be blessed with spiritual blessings, as Paul enumerates in Ephesians 1, right? The fact that we've been chosen by God from eternity past, redeemed by the Son, sealed by the Spirit. We have adoption. We have relationship with God. But that doesn't mean that all hardship is going to be cured and taken away. You might still get sick. You might be injured. Your back might go out. You might lose your job. You might have a death of a loved one. You might have horrible things happen to you. It doesn't mean God is against you.
Right.
And this is why the Psalms also are so important, because the Psalms are great cries of the heart, the great emotional expressions of how we all feel sometimes when we're depressed or anxious. There's so many good Psalms to choose from. You know, one is Psalm 77, where Asaph, he's one of my favorite psalmists, he says, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. So he feels the struggle of prayer, of what it was like to try to offer God his supplication with thanksgiving. And he even gets to the point where he says what we all feel sometimes. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? I mean, that's how we feel sometimes, as if God has forgotten us. But then what does Asaph do? In the second half of the psalm, he begins to remember the mighty acts of God and the good things he's done. He says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. And it's interesting, in that psalm, the first half, he keeps talking about, I will do this, I will do that. And then he turns in the second half and he says, you, God, your way, O God, is holy. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. And on he goes. And really, that is the same thing Paul's saying in Ephesians, or in Philippians 4, is rejoice in the Lord. And with your supplications and thanksgiving, remember what God has done for you, what he's done for his people in redemptive history. And that will help lead us out of the cave of anxiety and despair.
You know, we may not always understand why we're going through what we're going through. I remember Calvin, in his commentary on Job, said, but you can ask, what is God teaching you? And I think sometimes, you know, we have to reflect upon, from what the scriptures tell us, what God is teaching us. One of the real great principles is, this is when his power rests upon us, in our weakness. You know, I think one of the things we're trying to do all the time, Mike, is simply beat whatever the hardship is we're having in this life. That's why a lot of people run to the medications and the bottles when they shouldn't. That we're always trying to beat it. And Paul describes this experience in 2 Corinthians 12 when he said, I had something tormenting me. And three times I begged the Lord to take it away. And you know what he said? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Sometimes we simply have to submit to the hardship that we have in life and realize God is conforming us more to Christ. God is training us in perseverance and patience to be more Christ-like. And instead of always beating it, then I think our expectations are set right, for we have a great witness in these things to show forth the power of Christ in us. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We're always grateful you take time to tune into the program. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org, 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. Download the programs. We'd love to hear from you. We're always thankful you take time out of your day to tune in to Abounding Grace. Thanks to Pastor Mike Brown from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee for joining us on the program. Till next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.